We have been doing a series of messages entitled The Gospel Truth. The Gospel Truth. We talked to you a little bit about how that the gospel has been perverted on many levels, and we'll be looking at that really this evening more. So many denominations say that they preach the gospel. But as wise people, when we engage people in a conversation that we're trying to witness to, and we're seeking to discern whether they're born again or not, we need to understand that a lot of the terms that people have learned, like gospel, salvation, born again, that they don't define them the way the Bible defines them. For instance, many people would not define grace the way that the Bible defines grace. If you're talking to a Catholic and ask them if they experience the grace of God, they'll likely say yes. But if you would dwell a little bit longer and you get them to define things, you would find out that what they're talking about is certain kinds of merits that people have earned. And they call that grace. That is not what biblical grace is, as you know. So when we come to the gospel and we preach the gospel, we need to preach the good news that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. We need to make it clear that the gospel is the proclamation of forgiveness of sins. And the sonship of Jesus, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins and sonship with God, which God gives us through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only way, belief in the gospel is the only way that one is saved. Now, to bring us up where we are today, we have been looking at a series of names that the gospel is called in the New Testament. And I'd like to bring you up to date and then finish that list and tell you why it's given different names for the same thing. In Romans chapter 1, it's called the gospel of God. You don't need to turn there. Romans 1:1, we looked at that already, but the gospel is called the gospel of God because that shows who the author is. God is the one who, planned the gospel before the world began. The second name we looked at was the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the sole object of the gospel. It all focuses around Jesus. If it focuses on anything else but Jesus, it's not the gospel. And that's Romans 1:16. Then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it's called the gospel of grace. And that shows us that the gospel is free. Is free. That's why it's called the gospel of grace. You know, a very oversimplified definition of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It isn't that our salvation did not cost anything, because it cost a very high price, the death of His Son. But it is free to us. And that's why it's called the gospel of grace. Ephesians 6:15, it's called the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace, and we dwelt on that a little bit last week. It's called the gospel of peace because it accomplishes peace with God. However, when you start talking to people who don't want to hear the gospel message, even people in your own family, there's often division. Some of you have experienced that. You start witnessing to them, and if it is contrary to the way that they've been raised, it's contrary to their religious beliefs, they don't want to hear it. They get downright upset about it because they don't want to know the truth. They have been taught a certain thing. And even though believing that gospel will bring you into a situation with peace with God, they're not at peace with God. And Jesus Christ says, realize that, you know, there's going to be trouble. Realize that people aren't going to be happy with you, because sinners love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. This evening we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We're going to look at the fifth name that it is called. It's called the gospel of your salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, let me get there. Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, and here it is, the gospel of your salvation. Amen. The gospel of your salvation. And it goes on to say, after the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is a blessing to be able to have our salvation nailed down very, very clearly. It speaks of the exclusiveness of the message. The gospel of your salvation. That's an exclusive message. Now, there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. There is just one narrow road that leads to heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, narrow is the way that leads to life. And I am amazed at how people keep trying to broaden the way. Have you ever noticed that? They keep trying to broaden the way. They don't like the exclusiveness of the gospel message. But there aren't many different ways to God. There is just one way, and that is through Christ and through Christ alone. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5 and then down in verse 11 and 12. This then is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He that hath the Son hath life. Now I'm glad it didn't stop there. Look at what it says in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God, what? Hath not life. That's the little book of 1 John. It's an exclusive way. There are not many doors that open to eternal life. There is just one door, and Jesus Christ is that door. Don't let people, when you're trying to witness to them, broaden the way. Turn with me to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus Christ makes this very, very clear. John chapter 10, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and this is the gospel of John that I'm talking about. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. Now you have to understand what it's like in the Middle East when they're talking about the sheepfold. It's an enclosure where sheep are put in for the night. And what happens is, after the sheep are in, the shepherd lays down across the opening of the door. The shepherd is the door. And so the only way to legitimately get in is through the shepherd. All right, so that's the picture here, verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the porter openeth the door, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them in and out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, moving on, because we're going to take this through verse 11. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things that they were which he spake unto them. And look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, look at this now, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door. There is only one way. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. Now look at this. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I love verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's Jesus, friends. The reason, very clearly, that it is called the gospel of your salvation is because it's an exclusive message. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And people who keep trying to widen the door or think that you can take a detour around it, they're constantly doing that. They're constantly trying to broaden that way. But I want to tell you, they're liars. The gospel message is an exclusive message. The gospel or salvation is not up for grabs. You can't put your spin on it. A lot of churches, a lot of religions try and put their spin on it. And we'll see some of that in a minute. They try and redefine the gospel outside of the scriptures. And when you redefine a doctrine, you know what you make it? You make it a false doctrine. Salvation is not up for grabs. Salvation is not doled out on the basis of sincerity. There's a lot of people who are sincere about their religion, but they're sincerely wrong. I talked with somebody just recently, they were very sincere about their religion, and I finally just had to say, I'm sorry. I disagree. That is not what the Bible says. And if you want to hold to the truth, you have to hold to the Bible. It's not based on good intentions. It's not based on wishful thinking. The way of salvation is not up for majority vote. How many of you want to be saved by the death of Christ and works? Everybody vote. Well, I'm sorry. You vote till you're blue in the face. You can get dead people to vote. But you know what? They know better. They know better. So, I just want to say, before we move on to the next one, that indeed, the gospel message is an exclusive message. If this Baptist church ever ceases to preach or teach the genuine gospel message, you ought to be out of here. Right. I don't care if your grandpa went here. your great grandpa went here. I don't care if your great great grandpa founded the church. It ceases to be a church that tells the truth when it ceases to preach the genuine gospel. I've talked with so many people who won't leave their church because their family has gone there for generations. And so they'll sit under lies, and many of them not genuinely save themselves, and they'll risk all of eternity just because it has something to do with family heritage. You know what? It is the truth that the free gift of salvation from sin and from hell is through Christ and through Christ alone. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 11. Mark it in your Bible if it's not marked. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's it. If you build your salvation on anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ, you're building on quicksand. It is called the gospel of your salvation in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, because of the exclusiveness of the message. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In the little book, Paul's book of 2 Corinthians, 13 chapters, chapter 4 and verse 4. And I'm going to go back and read verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. The gospel is called the glorious gospel. And we'll tell you why in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of, here it is, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. The glorious gospel. It's called the glorious gospel because of its value. It's called that by that name because it describes the splendor and the value of this priceless truth. It is the message of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Well, you should know this one by now, and I'm sure that many of you do. But we got 1 Peter chapter 1, and we go down to verse 18. We're going to take it on through verse 21. It says, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed." That's another word for saved. You're not saved. You're not redeemed with corruptible things. So you aren't saved through corruptible things. It's not money. It says as silver and gold. So you can't be saved by money. "From your vain conversation or behavior received by traditions of your fathers." So it isn't by good works, neither is it by religious traditions. You can't be saved by your good works. You can't be saved by your religious traditions. Even though your father did all those religious traditions, you can't be saved by those things. He says you've not been redeemed by these things. In verse 19, "But," and oh man, is that little word has big meaning. "But," and here it is, "with the," what's the next word? "Precious." That is a word of value. The things that I value are precious. I do not call pizza precious. I do not call my car precious. But I do call my wife precious, and I do call my children, my grandchildren precious. And when it comes to the Lord, I call His shed blood precious because of the value of what He did for me. The price of a good wife is far above rubies, and a bad wife is the rottenness of the bones. So a good wife, if you got one, she's precious. But the blood of Jesus Christ is so much more precious as we continue to read. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, God had this plan even before the world was created, but was manifest or revealed in these last days for you. Whom by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Wow. The gospel. The gospel, when we think about its value, when we think about its splendor, when we think about what it has accomplished, I mean, just think what we were. We were sinners. We didn't care about God. You know what? I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to love people who are belligerent, who are disobedient, who just are nasty. It's hard for me to love those people. But you know, we were even worse than that as sinners. But in that, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Now, if that isn't precious, He loved us enough to die for us, and so it's called the glorious gospel because of its splendor, because of its value, and the gospel message is priceless. It should cause me and it should cause you to worship and to praise and thank God. And then the last one. The last one. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. It is called the everlasting gospel. You know, so many things that we have today are so temporary. I mean, I was talking to, maybe I was even telling you, but when I would go over to my grandma's house when I was a kid, she would have these old records, 33 and a third. Do you remember those? And then at our house, we had and still do have, I got it from my sister a while back, and I have one in my own place. Even you have the 76s. Remember when you cranked up? Any of you remember the crank up record players? Okay, I still have one at home. And when you come over to my house, one of the things I like to do is put a record on there. It's a crazy little record. The one I liked the most when I was growing up, when I had that wind-up record player, was Spike Jones. Any of you ever heard of Spike Jones? None of you heard of Spike Jones, but he was kind of a comedian of the day, and he'd say, "As the sun pulls away from the shore and our boat sinks slowly in the west," we hear the sound of Spike Jones. But anyway, you listen to that now, and you wonder, how could I have listened to that? Because then when I was in school, what was in? Remember the 45s with the big hole in there? Yeah. And then when I went away to Central Michigan University, they were changing to tape recorders, and I took a small reel-to-reel tape recorder, which was really pretty big, to class to record the professors so I could get down the stuff. I took that with me. It wasn't long till they changed to 8 tracks. Do you remember the 8 tracks? And then they turned to the cassette tapes, all right? And then they went from the cassette tapes and they started going to the CDs now. But you know where most of my CDs are now? Right here, about 300 of them. The music, the songs that I want are in MP3 format. I got a lot of CDs if anybody can give you a real good deal on them. But anyway, you see how things have changed? I was watching a program the other day and they're real concerned, Hollywood's real concerned about preserving film from times past. And they say, how are you going to preserve it? Are you going to preserve it on DVDs or what are you going to do? And the guy who was talking about this says, no, we can't do that. He says, because the problem is, when you save it on those things, just think of what's happened to your computers. I have discs from my first computer that nothing will read. I've got sermons on there from in the 80s, and I have nothing to read those sermons with because things have changed so much. And what I've done is, before it changed, I changed them to one form. I went from the disc, I'm not kidding you, the disc were this big at first. Then they went to little. Then they went to 3.5. Now Pastor Darrow and I, a lot of time, we have tons of sermons on little thumb drives. You know, you can get 100 sermons on a little thumb drive. You say, well, where are you going with all this, preacher? I'm just telling you, the world is in flux. The world is in change. But the gospel has not changed. Right here, as we look in Revelation chapter 14, Revelation 14, 6, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Look at this. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The everlasting gospel. Man, oh man. I mean, the gospel that we know is the everlasting gospel, and it is going to continue. The Apostle Paul says that no message is ever going to replace it. He writes, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, you want to build your life on something that's going to last? Build it on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Build it on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, you are saved. Well, in summary, the different names given to the gospel in the New Testament reveal a lot about the character of the gospel. I'll quickly go over them, and then we'll be done. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it's called the gospel of God because it shows the authority of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 is called the gospel of Christ because Christ is the sole object of the gospel. In Acts chapter 20 verse 24 is called the gospel of grace because it shows that the offer is free. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 is called the gospel of peace because it accomplishes peace between you and God when you get saved. It's called the gospel of your salvation in Ephesians 1, 12, and 13 because of the exclusiveness of the message. It is called the glorious gospel because its value is priceless. And it is called the everlasting gospel because it shows that the longevity of the gospel message is eternal. Man. And we know what the gospel is. Don't let people manipulate you. When you talk to them and they, do you believe the gospel? And they say, yeah, I believe the gospel. Find out what they mean. Find out what they mean. Because it may not be the gospel that's spoken of in the New Testament. They could be believing a lie. Next week, we're going to be looking at the Next week's the 5th, so Tim Burlingame is going to be preaching the week after that. We'll be looking at the false or perverted gospel and look at how many churches are tampering with the gospel today. You know, I started thinking through the churches that are even around our area. And I want to tell you something. There's only a handful of them that preach the gospel that is articulated in this book. The other ones, they're adding to it or taking away from it. You say, how can they take away with it? Away from it? Well, you'll have to come and hear the messages, and then I'll tell you how they're taking away with it, taking away something from it. But that's what's happening. And more and more and more, as churches move in this day of apostasy, because that's what we're living in, is a day of apostasy. When you live in a day of apostasy, they're going to be tampering with Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done, and they're going to be tampering with, the gospel message, and they're going to be tampering with the Bible. That's what they're going to be doing. I read a sad, sad letter from a president of a college that I once held in high esteem this past week. A once sound college is talking out of both sides of their mouth. Their Bible version has changed. Their music has changed. Their standards have changed. But you know what they told everybody? We haven't changed. You know what that is? That's doublespeak. You know what that is? That's a lie. I don't know where to send my kids anymore. I mean, the kids of the church. Few places, but it seems like they're on one spectrum of wackiness to the other spectrum of liberalness. It's very, very difficult to know what to counsel in the day and age in which we live. What a tragedy. Let's close in prayer.